Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to the UT Podcast by Developing Lafayette. My name is Ben Powers. I'm your host. And what we like to do with this podcast is we like to invite different business owners, different community influencers in Lafayette Parish that really highlight Lafayette Parish and what we're all about.
So this is the tea, and today I have, again, another special guest. As always, I always have a special guest. His name is Matthew Sias, and he is running for Lafayette City Council for District 1.
Correct.
All right. And so, so tell us a little bit about you first, and then we'll kind of go into the district and the your plans and your stuff about that.
Okay. So, like you said, my name is Matthew Sias Jr. Born and raised in Karen Crow, Louisiana. Moved to Lafayette when I started college. Went to LSUE, Southern, and then briefly UL. So basically, I can do the fast version of it. I started an insurance agency almost 3.5 years ago. Was at State Farm for a second, then decided like I'm gonna start my own brokerage. As I started my own brokerage, started seeing customers, business grew over the 400 customers, and I guess you would say reason I am in the political arena now is I was seeing that some of my customers was having issues, whether it would be not finding jobs or having opportunity. And basically, my district is part of the north side of town, and I started noticing little to no economic growth in the community. And so, I mean, I looked at it and saying, if I can take a step out on faith for my own self when I started my business, I can take a step out of faith for my community. So that's kind of how I ended up here. Started going to council meetings regularly. Spent a day at the Capitol, which really like piqued curiosity in politics. I started seeing how things work and making the relationships politically. And so, being that I'm a salesman and I sell insurance, I said, well, you know, if I can, you know, make relationships for my business and, you know, do different things like that, I can do it for my community. So,
What is the timeline of kind of when the ball got rolling for you to kind of decide to run? Because you said you spent a day at the Capitol, like
a year ago.
So a
year ago, I started seeing the Fix the Charter thing happen. And the Fix the Charter thing was going on, and I started reading up and researching about Fix the Charter. Started to see that the council was going to be split from city. It would have been city and a parish council, 5-man city council, 5-man parish council. I seen that, you know, in a 5-man council with you know, an opportunity to really get things done. You don't have to have too many people to vote on different issues. And it would be the city of Lafayette voting on the city of Lafayette. I thought that would have been a good idea. I was like, hey, look, if I run, you know, I can really implement change in my community on a council like this. And so thought about it, started watching the charter. I seen the charter was looking like it was going to want to pass. And then once it went through, I'm like, I'm good to go. I think I'm going to do this. So about a year ago, I went to the Capitol and I thought about it. Some people was talking to me about it.
What led up to like the Capitol? Like, did you get invited?
Oh no. So I went to the Capitol with the Chamber of Commerce.
Okay.
And so it was a Commerce Day or something like that. And
that was one in Acadiana.
The Black Chamber of Commerce.
Okay.
The Black Chamber of Commerce. I went with them. I just had, you know, my business was a membership, have a membership with them. And so, you know, just sitting down, having conversation and, you know, I was very intrigued at, you know, the way government works on a local and a state level. And I said, you know, people don't realize how much of impact that the local level have on their community. You know, people just like, they think about the president and different things like that, but the, you know, the real issues happen in our community on a local level.
Yeah,
so
right.
I said, I can jump in there on a local level, you know, and really get some things changed.
Yeah, because the president of the United States isn't focused on drainage issues.
In our area.
You know, he's got
blighted properties. He don't care about a blighted property in our area. He's not thinking about, you know, whether we have, you know, jobs and fair wages in our area. He's not, you know, that's not his.
It's such a broader scale. It's a global scale for him.
Yeah.
And so then you have, your governor, your state governors, who still have a broad sense of the state.
Of multiple cities. Right. And so,
then what really counts for parish is, you know, your city parish president and then the council members. That's who, if you want to affect change here.
Yeah, they decide on a lot of things that happen in the city. And so, I was like, I'm a young 25 years old, and I said, hey, look, at 25 years old, if I can affect change in our community right now, that would be, really, be a blessing for our community. And so, I'm a young man, I'm aggressive, I'm a salesman, I'm an entrepreneur. And so, I'm a big thinker, I think outside the box. And so, I think I can bring that, that flavor to the council.
What business, you said you have an insurance firm.
So my insurance agency, I'll tell you how it started. So I'm a community man. I started off at a funeral home selling life insurance.
Okay.
Door knocking, doing a little, door knocking, selling burial policies. Getting sweaty.
How does selling life insurance for someone like a funeral home work? Like, hey, look, man, time's a ticking.
Yeah. So interesting conversation. So, working at a funeral home. There's people that are passing and there's people that are thinking about it. Hey, look, maybe we were in that situation. We might be in that situation one day, family members, we might need insurance. And so that's kind of how I got my start at Kinchin Funeral Home, where, I was there. I did a lot of other things. I'm not going to go into too many details about the other things. I did all the funeral jobs in there outside of
the insurance. Yeah, you don't have to go too much detail.
Yeah, I don't know if people want to talk about that. But on the insurance side of it, just having day-to-day action with different people that, might have lost a loved one. And then, they thinking about it, hey, look, I'm not in a position if I were to pass today. And so, and then in the community, what I was doing is going door-to-door for some time and knocking on it. Hey, look, are you set financially for, afterlife? So.
Okay. So that's some of the beginning stages of
Beginning stages of me. And so I met the community, I was in out there. I got to know a lot of people. And so then I was still studying for my insurance licenses. And so I was kind of in between, because originally before the funeral home, I got into insurance, but I didn't, I was at State Farm and I wasn't actually, I was a cold caller. Whatever you call it.
Yeah, you don't door knock with State Farm.
Yeah, no, yeah. So you're on the phone, you cold calling. So anyway, so that didn't work out too well. Came to the funeral home and they gave me a start there. But I still had aspirations of, eventually owning my own insurance agency. And so I moved forward, jumped into the funeral home. And while I was doing that, I was working on getting my licenses for start my own agency. And then, about a year and a half later, started my own agency. From scratch, nothing. Reached out, got contracts, and it took off.
And all your business is located, or your main client.
I live in my district. My business is in my district, and all my majority of my customers are in my district.
So let's talk about the district. The area. So it's District 1, mm-hmm. And so I have a graphic that I'm gonna pull up here. Just a second. So this graphic right here is kind of showing both the city council districts and the parish council district lines. And so if you're looking at the screen right now, let me get these logos off. On the left side of the screen, this is the city council district. So your district, if the number is hard to see, it's D1.
D1.
So if it's hard to see, it's the light blue area, or the blue area, just in general. So there's some other portions of the city that this may not specifically highlight, but this is a generalized kind of area that District 1 covers. And it looks like it covers
A little bit of...
That looks like part of Congress.
It has part of Cameron.
Okay.
It has part of Eras Landry, part of Dulles, part of Ambassador on the backside, Pont de Mouton, a little bit of Mall Street. It covers it really runs through a lot part of that north side, coming backside, borderline Scott.
Yeah. And so this is where a lot of development is starting to take place. There's still a lot more that needs to happen.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
You know, Panaymutong area, that's really starting to kind of
The Billy's opens up Monday.
That's big news,
yeah,
right?
That's big news.
Then you got Correct Farms in that area. I don't know if you have, if your district is over Correct Farms, is it?
Yeah, partially. Yeah, partially, yes.
Okay. And then you said you have portions of Moss Street, and then it looks like you got a good portion of the I-10 area.
Mm-hmm.
And
we have a little Willow coming down Willow. Yeah. And then they have, I would say, that area where actually I used to work at the funeral home, that West Gilman area, that area.
So you do have portions of Scott as well.
It looks like.
So, and then you see the parish lines. The parish lines are just, you know, those are pretty easy to see, and those are... those will be defined later.
Yeah, the district that I'm in is, I think, the most carved district since the recharter. But I think it was for the betterment of the district. And, I mean, it gives us an opportunity in the district to have more opportunity. So
okay. And so in this area of the city, I know you said this is kind of carved out, kind of newly carved out. But who is the, I guess, the council member that's kind of leaving this area? Is it Kenneth Boudreau?
No, this is not Kenneth Boudreau. Kenneth Boudreau was 04, new D5. This right here, new one, is 03, part of 03, which is Pat Lewis.
Okay, and so...
he's the incumbent. He's the incumbent in the seat, so he's not termed out, so he's going to be in the race also.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, this is really cool to see, and then there's a lot to... I guess, kind of talk about as far as Northside goes. What are some of the, I guess, focuses for your, I guess, candidacy for the city council? Like, what's top line focus for you?
Obviously, development.
Okay.
We're doing some redevelopment, but I'm talking about new development.
In specifics, like what type of development?
Residential.
Okay.
I've been in the area some time now, especially on the part of my district that's mainly the north side of town. There's not much residential development happening. If you look at everything around, there's a lot of residential development going on in the in the city, especially on the outside of Karen Crow. In other places, I mean, we have a few pockets, like Correct Farms came up in a couple other spots, but, you know, I mean, full-on residential development that needs to take place. And when I mean, we've been putting a lot of low-income-based housing there, and I think that it's time to actually build residential development. I mean, we can't keep pulling people that, you know, putting people that economically are not in a financial position to, you know, put, I guess you say, tax dollars into the into that district. And so low income based living is a no-go for me in that area. We've been putting a lot of that in that area, and I think that now it's time to put some resident development, get some family, some neighborhoods going, and then also from there we attract businesses. Because think about it, realistically, if I'm a business owner and I come to do a survey of that area, and the average income in that area is $18,000 to $24,000, which is most of that district, and majority of that district, I'm going to not develop a business in that area because financially that district is not in a position to, you know, whether it's shop or whether it's a service, afford the services consistently. And so that's the one thing. And so to attract opportunity like different businesses to come in the area, first you have to start residentially and get that average income level to another, you know, because most of the time if you're buying a home, typically you're in a stable position financially.
Okay. So your focus is on residential. That's one of your focuses.
One of my attracting some residential development.
So how does a city council member approach attracting new residential development? So
okay.
It's not, I mean, like, what are some of the things that you...
Infrastructurally, beautification. It's just like when you're buying a house, or like, you know, when you're buying a house, infrastructurally, or, you know, beautification. So the grass, you know, I've noticed in majority, you ride through that area, you know, we have to start keeping like university clean.
Yeah.
You know, a big Why?
A big, and your district has portions of university, correct?
Correct. And so, you know, we have to start getting that area clean consistently and keeping it clean to attract. Because I'm, you know, realistically, if you're going to buy a house, if the grass is not cut, I'm not going to buy that house. If there's tires in the on the ground,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Mattresses on the side of the street. I mean, realistically, it doesn't look appealing for me to buy. And so I take that approach before we sell stuff. And well, I mean, before we get people to want to buy and invest in the area, we have to clean things up. So
so have you seen mattresses and tires? And
if you watch my video, The City's Bleeding, and I was talking about the north side of town, there's a sofa in the in the video.
Oh, wow.
And that's
okay.
In the district.
And that's in the north side area.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know where that. I heard there was plans of having dump sites, different dump sites in the community, but I think that needs to happen as soon as possible. But there's some spots where the grass is extremely high. There's
but that's a city thing to take care of, correct?
Correct.
So this is going to be something that I feel is super, I don't know if I should say risky or bold for me to say,
mm-hmm.
but in your opinion only, this is not factual because I don't have any basis to say this is fact. But in your opinion, do you feel that Northside has effectively been forgotten about?
Correct. 100%. Listen, I mean, this is the T, and I believe that it has been ignored for way too long. Honestly, way too long. I can lose votes behind this, and I really don't care. This is how I feel. I mean, and if I wouldn't win based off of this conversation, I would not care at all, because I'm serious about this, that we have turned our back on that side of the city for a long time. I mean, way too long. The infrastructure part of it. I mean, we've basically said, hey, Ambassador and Verrod and most of the south side of town is the way to go. But realistically, in a lot of major cities, development happens on the highway, like on I-10 and 49.
Yeah.
And so in major cities, in most major cities. And so, you know, I mean, what's been done is done. So, I can't, you know, cry over something that's happened already. One thing I can say is there's a lot of opportunity there, a lot of opportunity for growth. It's basically an empty canvas, and we can paint the picture how we want to paint it. And so, you know, for me, I'm trying to advocate. I'm going to ring the bell, and I'm going to be a huge advocate that, hey, look, listen, this city is a city of one Lafayette.
Right.
You know, and so one of my buddies, he put something on one of my posts, and he said, you know, I'm on the Titanic, and oh, this side is not does not have a hole in it, so we're good. No, the whole ship is going to sink if, you know. And so, you know, we want to create a better community. You know, I love what they're doing downtown. I love what happened on the south side. I'm not taking away from any of that by no means. One thing I will say is that let's advocate for the whole city.
Yeah.
The whole city of Lafayette. If we're going to develop on developing Lafayette, let's develop the whole Lafayette. Developing Lafayette, matter of fact. Yeah. So we're developing Lafayette. Let's develop the whole Lafayette.
Yeah.
One Lafayette. You know, I mean, and I'm not saying it was done purposely. I'm not sure if there was people actually strongly advocate. There's some people, you know, Councilman Boudreaux, I know he's been a strong advocate for it, you know, for development and different things to happen. But, I mean, it's time to ring the bell. And I need not just people that live in that district to say, hey, look, we've been forgetting that area. We've forgotten that area. And so I need everybody in the city of Lafayette to see that, hey, look, it's time to make a change in the community, that we need to, you know, start looking at some things. I mean, some things are sore eye, you know, it's just, you know, you see, you know, kids riding bikes down the area, but then they have no sidewalk to, you know, to pass on. And so they're riding in the street, you know, I mean, that's something that we can't excuse anymore.
No, it's definitely there's definitely things that anybody that is remotely looking straight while driving through the north side area, if you're on a thruway, if you're on I-10, if you're on any of the roads there's obvious things that you can see, like, oh, this looks pretty bad.
And it's like a pocket, if you would say.
Yeah.
So because then you have Karen Crow, which is an up and coming city, and you have downtown, which is growing, you know, vastly. And so, you know, I mean, right in between that is like, you know, like what's going on here? It's nothing. I mean, I commend Louisiana Avenue is really shaping up, but that's T 10, and that's on 10. But I'm talking about inside the community, just like right after you come across to Mall Street. Mall Street was one of the most prominent streets in Lafayette. I mean, you take a drive down Moss. I mean, that, and that's businesses, you know, I've been to a lot of openings in that area and a lot of people opening business in that area. But for the, from an infrastructure standpoint and a beautification standpoint, we have to do a better job.
Yeah. And there's a lot of vacant buildings down there. I mean, it's, man, it's, I mean, you can only do so much with vacant buildings. You know, somebody, it's property that somebody either owns or it needs to be sold. So to try to say that as a government figure.
Yeah, and you can't control that you can't aspect. Always control but that. You can advocate, you know, and have those conversations and make those relationships. You know, one thing was the Four Corners thing, which I'm, you know, I had a couple conversations about recently. And, you know, that vacant Let's Pay Motel and, you know, the factory behind it. Excuse me. You know, I mean, they started the talked about the project purchases and everything, but I've noticed that on our side of town, in my majority of my district, projects start to happen and, you know, vacant buildings start to be bought, but then you don't see a lot of action. I mean, I don't know how to say it nicely, but I just don't think that we are aggressive enough to get those projects done.
So you're talking about Let's Pay Motel, and so I know that there's a company out of New Orleans that was looking at the area. I don't know if
I think they bought the building behind
the old factory. Coke plant?
Yes, correct.
And so they talked about putting lofts there.
Correct.
I want to say the Bottle Lofts or something like that. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. It was some kind of cool name that kind of goes with mm-hmm. the bottling plant or the Coke plant there. But
and they made that actually an arts district recently too. Okay. So
I want to say that plan is still happening. There.
But notice, okay, so, you know, notice that project was purchased a while back, or it was at least in works a while back. The downtown project, which I love, by the way. So when people see this, know that I love this project, the tower. And, you know, the old courthouse building, the development in that. And so my thing is that they gave them a certain amount of time. It's a time limit. Things are happening. They're pushing at them. And, you know, I sat in the council meetings, like, they found out that they had, you know, a problem. And it was like, hey, is your construction date going to still be the same time? And so, you know, from that point, and I love what Anita and them, they're doing downtown. You know, they're aggressive, attracting, you know, promoting and pushing, and I just don't think that's happening enough on the north side of town. That's, you know,
I agree. You know, I try to push for development as long as it's appropriate development everywhere. Because I mean,
oh yeah, appropriate there. Because and I'll be extremely honest, and this is the tea, and I'm gonna be this is a hot take. Right. I don't agree with Buchanan Heights. The development in Buchanan Heights. You know, I love development. Okay, we're building something, you know, but realistically, I mean, low income base or income based driven housing in that district, we have a ton of that already.
Okay, so the Buchanan Heights, that's where the V is, the split of Congress, right?
No, that's not that one. Buchanan Heights is the one right behind Walmart.
Oh, okay.
If I'm not mistaken, I think that's the name of it.
It's I'm gonna just if
it's not Buchanan Heights, I'll correct it. Whatever the development name is
behind the old Walmart in Northside. Mm-hmm. So I know that is. I want to say it's Buchanan something. I have to go back and look. It's been a little while since I revisited that post, but yeah, it's an apartment complex. I want to say they have 180 to 200 something units.
And what do you financially, you know, what kind of people are going to be housed there financially? So, and from what I'm understanding, it was income based.
I want to say that it was probably income based. I have to go back and look at my notes. Mm-hmm. But it was for younger families, you know, who were probably a little bit more strapped on cash.
Okay. We need housing for that. Yeah, that's not a problem. Right. But in my district, I mean, we have that a lot already. We have so many apartment complexes that are income based in that area. And, I wouldn't have agreed to that. You know, I would have tried to fight that as much as possible. Reason why, because, I mean, and maybe partnering with another district and another councilman in another area and say, hey, look, you do this development. It helps everyone, but we realistically can't keep lowering the average income of that area. Because small, you're just starting out. I mean, I've been there. Everybody's been there. And if all the low income is in one area, then, that income, you get
right,
what I'm saying?
Right, right. And, when you have a concentration of a certain income, that also dictates what type of businesses want to come there.
Exactly. So you see a Family Dollar, a Dollar General, a gas station, I don't know, maybe it's a couple of fast food restaurants, but Whole Foods would not go in the area financially because, I think Rouse's wouldn't take a look at it either, because if you look at the average income,
If anybody were to come there, because Super One's there, and they seem to be doing okay there.
Mm-hmm.
Walmart had an issue, and there's speculation. People are saying that the Karen Crow Walmart was pulling all the clients from the Northside Walmart, and that's why the Northside Walmart closed.
It's a combination.
But there's a guy named Kevin Guillory. I don't know if you're familiar.
I know Kevin. I know Kevin.
So he made a post on Facebook recently saying, well, in Lake Charles, there's literally two Walmarts within a couple of miles away from each other. How come one of them are not closed because they're so close?
Mm-hmm.
And our Walmarts were actually a fair distance away, and one closed because the other one got built.
Yeah, I mean... a lot of it is speculation. I'll say that, whatever reason Walmart decided to make that move, it is.
They were obviously losing money somewhere.
They weren't financially doing what they thought what they were doing at a point in time.
Yeah.
But, what was interesting is if you seen when they closed, you couldn't even find a parking spot. So obviously there's people in the area.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, and then people from other sides of the city came also. So,
If you have a Walmart saying 75% off, 90% off.
No, they were wiped out at 25. They were really wiped out. The first week, they did the 25% off. And you barely saw that, if you spending a couple hundred dollars. So, because I went in there and, it was a lot of people there. And, people in the community.
I drove by there because I live in the unincorporated portion of Karen Crow. So, I have to drive. Uh-huh. I drive through the thruway all the time. Mm-hmm. And whenever Walmart was initiating the sale, there was people parked at the old KFC. Yeah. In the drive-thru line of the KFC.
And see, that's a question, so you talk about the old KFC. The old KFC's been empty for a long time.
For a long time, yeah.
I say Walmart... I look at it as, God works in mysterious ways. I'm a faith-based man, and, my parents are pastors. I believe that, that happening might be a blessing in disguise, because now you get to kind of potentially advocate for something else. Walmart average wage is, $8 to $10 an hour. We can find something else in that area. Everybody's like, oh, we need something entertainment-wise. And I'll be honest with you, somebody said Dave and Buster's and different things like that. Obviously, it needs to be some type of jobs that would increase the average income of that area and employ a lot of people. And
so
I think, Walmart leaving could potentially be a blessing if we are able to attract the right type of business to that area that will employ people, in that $15 to $16 an hour.
So there's talks or rumors, because there's nothing confirmed on this yet,
mm-hmm.
that the old Walmart, this was even a couple of years ago, whenever Karen Crow started coming up, that the Walmart on the north side could potentially become a Sam's.
And that would be huge, honestly, because Sam's pays a little bit more. And there's a lot of jobs, if I'm not mistaken, from Sam's. They pay a little bit more because of the type of job it is, a lot of stocking and different things like that. It's not just cashier, mainly cashier jobs and stuff like that. So that would be interesting, But before I even say that, I'm just talking off of what I might believe. But before I would even advocate for something like Sam's, I would definitely need to know what's the average pay of that job, and how many people does that employ? And then, so, you know, and how many people do they plan to employ potentially in that area? You know, and so are they closing the other SAMs is the other question. So if you're closing other SAMs, then that's probably not a good idea, because then now those people from that SAM is going to just come work here. And so that doesn't create more opportunity. It's just, you know, transferring of the building.
Yeah. Another thing that I keep thinking that would be good for the North Side, especially with Northgate Mall.
Yeah, and that's a resurgent right now that's happening from what I'm seeing.
There's a ton of local entrepreneurs and business owners that are looking at the Northgate Mall because essentially, if you're familiar with the Jockey Lot off of the I-49, they're getting, this is direct kind of quotes, or I say paraphrase quotes, they were paying the same amount at the Jockey Lot for the weekends only during the month. For this, per month, they were paying the same amount as they are in the Northgate Mall for an air-conditioned, covered space without dust.
Correct.
And the Jockey Lot, if you've ever been to the Jockey Lot in June and July...
It's hot.
It's dusty. And there's a lot of warm bodies right there.
And to walk in, it's just like...
Yeah.
And another thing is, you know, I say from the Northgate Mall perspective, you know, there's a lot of entrepreneurs in the city. I started an organization called the Millennial Networking Group. It's for young entrepreneurs and business owners. So I had something called Business Talk about 8-9 months ago, maybe almost a year now. And I posted all entrepreneurs, business owners, and I had a panel of business owners. And, I mean, the room was filled with 100-some kids, young, you know, not kids, I would say between 20 and 30-some, 35.
Yeah.
All that are starting businesses and doing different things and all probably need spaces and different things like that. And so there is young entrepreneurs or entrepreneurs, period, in the city. And I say that to say, you know, from a Northgate Mall perspective, you know, actually getting that information out there that this is what we're at. We're at our asking price for an office or a space in the area and marketing out there. I think that's not being done, which probably needs to happen soon. So, you know, I'm probably going to try to find somebody to have a conversation about that. But I just think from a Northgate Mall perspective, if they basically put out there, like, exact, and you're seeing people come to that area, but if they put out there that, hey, look, this is the space, and then actually do some facelift into the building, which I think would be, you know.
There's talks of them wanting to do facelifting, but, you know, it's the cart before the horse.
So they
want to have tenants that are paying bills, and they want to allocate that money. So the property manager, Lisa Champagne.
Oh, you know, okay.
Yeah. She's been there for, I think, over 16 years. Mm-hmm. I want to say maybe 17 years. Maybe longer.
And my question is, you know, why now? That's always interesting to me, how that things start to happen, when the changes start to happen, when entrepreneurs come into the area. And so now, why now? When I'm meaning this, why so many people moved in there, six businesses at one time. And then, you know, what is going to be the cause and effect from that? You know, so now we got six people, you know, will we see them advocate for a larger business? Like, let's say, I think Foot Locker's still in there, but say something else in there to basically push those, drive traffic, more traffic to those small business owners. So,
I think the reason why, and you said why now, I want to say, in my opinion, that the reason why the Northgate Mall is starting to see kind of this kind of reinvigoration of business is that kind of a couple of things is the business owners there are seeing that businesses are, you know, traffic and business is moving south side or to Karen Crow. And if they don't do something to help push, you know, the Northgate Mall and that area, then they're going to lose their businesses. So, partially, some of the business owners in the Northgate Mall are opening up a second business in the Northgate Mall. Mm-hmm. And it kind of comes with a group of people. So, let's say you're just one business owner who says...
Yeah, making a pack together. Like, yeah. I get what you're saying. Making
you,
a pack together.
You kind of have
together.
That like that group yeah. effort.
A community effort, basically.
Because if it's just one business owner saying, oh, I'm a reinvigorate the North Gate Mall, well, good luck. Because you need multiple people to see that vision. Mm-hmm. And right now, there's multiple people seeing a vision. Mm-hmm. And over a year ago, before this became popular to talk about the North Gate Mall, because recently it became super popular to talk about the North Gate Mall. The Advocate, the Daily Advertiser, KTC, KLFY, all of them got super excited about it the past couple weeks ago because one news organization decided to talk about three or four businesses in there. Mm-hmm. And then all of them are like, boom gotta go there. Big story. You know, low income area, North Gate Mall is struggling.
And that's why X. And so, you know, look at what I'm saying. So now it has a little traffic to it. And so what are we going to do around it as a local government? Mm-hmm. And see, that's what you have not yet heard or seen as a local government or as of leader, you know, government agencies. What are they going to do or as, you know, the people that, you know, govern this city to help, you know, they did the groundwork. Those business owners, those six, you know, it's going to be a few more probably coming in that area in the next few months. You know, they did the groundwork. So how are we going to tie in to that? And that's why I say why now. And so, and then what's cause and effect. And see, if I was on council right now, and that's why I kind of led up to it. If I was on council right now, I would be diverting a lot of my efforts into, hey, look, let's see what we can do. Talking to the project manager at Walmart. What kind of people, what kind of businesses might want to come to this area right now? And then, like, with Lita, having a conversation, because Lita knows anybody that's looking to come to Lafayette, or they're talking to the mayor. And so how can we divert our efforts to pushing that, to make that happen and to help those small business owners get more traffic to their business?
Yeah. So let me see if we have any comments, and I'll check that real quick. We may or may not. So we don't have any comments, but I just wanted to check just to make sure because I wasn't watching it. But
that's fine.
So you really are pushing for development.
Development. I mean,
and so you were telling me about a particular road project.
Yeah. A couple of road projects. So I jump in on it. That San Antoine extension that didn't happen. That's still there. That's one of my projects that will be, if it doesn't get done before I get in the office. That's one of my projects that I love. I drive that area all the time. So I leave from my house, come down Pont de Mouton and take that service road, you know, and ride the curve. And so I think that project that would make an extension from Pont de Mouton to San Antoine would be huge. And so why? Because once you build a road, you create more development, opportunity for more development. So you have land spaces, you have a road access to land. And then now being that they have correct forms on the Pont de Mouton area, you know, just if you can kind of look at it, I think that it will be extremely attractive alongside with Billy's. We have the church, you know, in that area. I think it makes sense to make an extension. And if you ever been there around on Sunday, they need alternate routes, honestly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I think that would be huge for our community, a big win. I think the project was $13 million, if I'm not mistaken. There is some funds there. There was some funds that was diverted. And I think one thing that I would do is try to get those funds back for that project to make that happen. That's one of my first goals.
So I guess when you start talking about funds, a lot of people start thinking about taxes. Are their taxes going to go up because of this? So how do you plan on getting the funds for it? Like you said, they were there, but they're not there.
So I've been getting a crash course on government funds and budgeting. And there's a lot of different ways to do different things. I know there's a few that the city has a certain amount in bonds. I can't quote exactly how much in bonds that might not be allocated anywhere. So, you know, possibly selling a bond or two to get funds to do different projects might be an idea. Taxes, I mean, obviously, I don't think we need another tax right now. I think there's ways in the budget right now to move, you know, funds from this project to that project that's not being, so, and there's funds allocated to certain projects that aren't even ready to go right now. And so just moving that and possibly selling a few bonds can get the NARS out of town some funds that it needs to get those projects done. Mm-hmm. So me as a councilman, unless it makes sense, and I would talk to, and one of the things that I'm going to do as a councilman when I win is have town hall meetings and have those conversations. Hey, you know, y'all, we need that. Y'all want this done as a community. Y'all want this to happen when it comes to drainage or whatever. You know, this is our two options. Either we tax this or we rededicate, like the situation with the library. Either we, you know, the library had all these funds. I mean, everybody probably seen this. And, you know, hey, we're going to do another library on this side. And then certain amount of funds will go to drainage and roadways and then other to park and recreation. You know, and I'll be totally honest with you. Okay, hey, this goes here, this goes there. Other option is maybe another tax if realistically, I mean, I'm the type of person, I'm realistic. And I don't think that we need another tax, but if something comes up where I feel like once I really get in the budget and say, hey, look, I'm going to be honest and say, hey, look, we, you know, if we want to get this project done, we might need a tax a little bit more.
Okay. Yeah, man, whenever you start talking about taxes, just...
But I mean, I'm not for it.
Yeah. You know, I don't know too many people personally that are like, oh, yeah, I can't wait to pay more in taxes.
Yeah, nah.
You know, most people have a general consensus where they want to keep as much money as they can. But they do have an idea that, you know, taxes pay for government-ran things and you need it. So we're getting close to 45 minutes here and I want to kind of wrap up. So if there was one thing that you could leave the people watching and listening with, what would it be? I mean, I don't know if I can vote. I don't know who I'm going to be able to vote on. I'm in the unincorporated portion of Karen Crow. So
I'm going to look at the map in a second. I'm going to try to see.
I don't think that I have any reason to be able to vote for you. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to be a thing because I'm outside of your district. I think that's how it works, mm-hmm. right? So I can't say, hey, I'm pushing for this guy to win because, you know, I'm pretty unbiased in this point because, you know, who knows? Maybe you are the guy for District 1.
I am.
Okay, well, then there you go.
I am. I don't shy away from it. And what I would leave to all the constituents, family, friends, City of Lafayette, you know, my biggest thing is that we are one city. We need to look at the city as one, as in a whole. I believe that this community is a beautiful community. I've seen a lot of different people come together, multiple different cultures, different beliefs, different relationships, and different walks of life. And I think that if we as a community come together, we can create a better living community that we currently have. And one thing that I'll say as a young man, a 25-year-old entrepreneur and business owner, I'll say this, that I'm extremely aggressive. I'm extremely understanding of the issues, and I will work as hard as I do for my own business as I do for my community. And I'm here for the greater good, basically. And I'm planning on serving our community. And I had a meeting last night. I'm realistic. I'm not a politician. And I'll say this, I see this as a job, and I'll do my job to the best of my ability. Elect me for 4 years. If I don't do my job correctly, realistically, I'll walk away. Realistically, because I think that, you know, that this needs, these a lot of things needs to be done. And if I can't do it, then I'll advocate for somebody else to do it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, realistically, I am that guy for the job.
Realistically?
I mean, no offense to any of my any other candidates, but I mean, I am the guy for the job. I'm here. I'm ready to serve, and I will reshape this community, help reshape this community.
Hey, well, Matthew, good luck with the race. I think the vote is in October 12th, is it?
Yes, October 12th. And then if it's a runoff, it's in November. I don't know the exact date of November.
Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, good luck with the race. And, you know, if you get it, I look forward
when
to
when I get it.
Yeah, when, let me, okay, so I'll go with it.
I'm trying to condition you for that.
When you get it.
I was told that when you're running for office, you have to. you know, talk from experience of that you won already, and I won already. So
when okay, I get it. There you go. Well, when you get into this council, city council office, I look forward to seeing what changes could be made, you mm-hmm. know, and I know you have to work with all parties involved as far as like city and parish and
a mayor president.
Yeah, you got to work with all of them, and it's a group effort, and it's a city effort, it's a parish effort. Ultimately, it's an effort at everybody that lives in this whole area. So I look forward to seeing what could potentially happen with Northside.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Thank you all so right, much, Ben. Matthew, Appreciate it.
For information on sponsoring the Tea Podcast by Developing Lafayette, go to our website at developinglafayette.com and click advertise.